This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. And it is it's a big Thursday. Of course, we have the NFL draft tonight, and we have game three. Those are the big ones. Game three between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. On the draft side, Angel and I put together our 1 through 12 mock draft yesterday. How are you feeling about it? You feel still pretty good about it? Anything has swayed you to think maybe we screwed this up, Angel?
Did we have Drake May go anywhere?
Where did we have Drake? I ended up taking him for the Giants.
Okay.
Because I originally had them taking Malik Nabers, but you had the Chargers scoop him up. And again, this was out without any trades or anything. So you had the Chargers take him. So that changed my philosophy. And then I took the Giants to take Drake May.
Gotcha.
Which I think there's a decent chance that happens.
Well, there's rumors that they're trying to get up to number three.
That the Giants are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Drake May has been up and down. I mean, the way that the draft has moved as far as the mocks and where we think people are going to go, I don't recall this much movement with like the top, I don't know, two or three of the top five guys. Do you?
No, I mean, there's usually in most years their top 10 players are fairly consistent. You know, where they're going to go, it's going to be different. But I think in terms of just the quarterbacks class this year, that's seen the most change. I think a lot of people feel good about the D-line, the O-line, and the wide receiver class. But the quarterbacks, it's like, okay, we know Caleb's number one. He's gone. Where's Drake May at? How much do you value Jaden Daniels? And will Penix or Nix or McCarthy? And, you know, McCarthy's probably been the biggest mover those four. But then where do Penix and Nix end up falling?
Well, and again, you look at it, Angel, where with Drake May, that guy has moved up and down so much. And that's crazy to me.
He feels like he's either a Mitch Trubisky pick or he's a Daniel Jones pick.
How many teams, too? I was thinking about this on the way in this morning, Angel. How many teams are just like redoing it? You know, like you look at the Bears, they were just here twice, you know, figuring out, okay, we need a franchise quarterback. The Giants are in the same position. They thought Daniel Jones was going to be the guy. Now here they are. There's just a lot of teams. You'd think they'd learn, but you're just so desperate for a quarterback that you're willing to go against history. History's going to tell us that most of these quarterbacks are not going to work out, but you're willing to go against that because you're confident in your own system. Because not having having a potential franchise quarterback is better than knowing for sure you don't have one. And you're willing to risk it and probably reach on some of these picks and give up a lot to move up.
Are the Broncos redoing it?
Well, they haven't
done...
Well,
they haven't been poised to pick a quarterback in the last few drafts.
Yeah, and they haven't done the quarterback thing, at least in the first round, since what, Paxton Lynch? You know, and they did the Tebow thing with Josh McDaniels. I think we all knew when that pick happened, that was more of an experiment because you had two first rounders. You tried the Paxton Lynch thing under Elway, and that made them gun shy to stay away from a guy like Josh Allen in the year they took Bradley Chubb. So they haven't gone there. And really their history too, if you want to go back to, you know, even with Elway, that was a trade, but outside of that, this team just hasn't been historically interested in drafting a quarterback in that first round. Is now the time. I'm going to say it. I believe they're going to take Brock Bowers. I do, if he's there at 12. The Jets will be the one sticky point here for the Broncos because I could see the Jets take him. I could also see them go with what I said yesterday and go with the tackle out of Oregon State.
Yeah, and I would keep an eye on the Colts, too. They're a team that I've seen get a lot of interest in Brock Bowers. Do they have the ammunition to trade up? I'm not sure, but, you know, if you start to see him fall, say, hey, there's some quarterback teams right in front of us. Let's just jump up ahead of them and make sure we get our guy. But what? Yeah, the Jets is one that concerns me as well.
Sure. I think a lot of people in their mocks, too, have Brock Bowers going to the Jets, dropping at least to there. But if he survives past the Jets, then he could go to Denver. He could go to the Colts at 15. I've seen that one a lot, especially this week. But there's just been so much movement. Are you mock drafted out yet? Are you ready for this to be over tonight, at least the first round?
Yeah, I mean, we feel fairly good about 1 and 2. I wouldn't be shocked if Drake May ends up falling a bit further than we expect. I feel probably more confident. Whoever trades up to 3 is going to want to go get McCarthy. Feel good about the wide receivers, at least the top two guys with Neighbors, Adunze, and Harrison Jr. And then I'm interested to see when the run starts for the offensive linemen. We know Joe Alt's probably the top guy that's going to go off the board. Where do other guys like Fuaga or any of those guys go off? And then the D-linemen or the edge rushers. There's 3 good edge rushers here with guys like Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. When are the runs going to start going, or is it just going to be all over the place?
Yeah, well, and this is what I love about the first round. That tells you the theme of where we are in the NFL. Like, what position is really valued from the standpoint of looking at a youth movement for your franchise? And at least, according to the mocks, would you say the two positions, quarterback and wide receiver, in that top 10 range?
Yeah, quarterback, wide receiver, probably 1 and 2. And then depending on where you're at with your team, if you have your quarterback, probably going to go get O-line. If you feel good about those two, okay, let's go get a nice piece of edge rusher.
Yeah, well, edge rusher is a big one too, and I know that's a need for the Broncos. They could go that route. They could go cornerback route. They could go with Quinyon Mitchell. They could at the cornerback route from Toledo. They can go with your boy from Alabama and Dallas Turner. That we'll see where those guys end up. I know I've said this a lot, that I was going to be upset if they take anybody other than a quarterback, but I've toned down a little bit, and it's not because I'm confident in the situation that they're in right now, but let's just face it. I truly believe only 2 of these guys, you know, are probably going to succeed and be successful franchise quarterbacks, and the chances of that guy being number 12 for the Broncos, you know, what are the chances? What's the percentage chance that he even plays next year? Is that guy more of an experiment? It's a crazy draft with the quarterbacks in this one.
Yeah, and it just 12 is just a weird spot to be in. You're not outside the top 15 where it's okay. If you took a quarterback there, it wouldn't be shocking. But 12 is kind of, it's almost in reach territory depending on who you're going after. But it just depends on where other people are valuing Nix and Penix. If you're hearing phone calls saying, hey, the Raiders are looking to trade up 5 spots, or
yeah,
you know, some other team's looking to move up a little bit to go get their guy. Do you have to act fast?
I don't know that the Broncos are they really going to try to move up, and what do they have? Do you buy any of what I'm selling about the Patrick Surtain video? Like that, him being in the video with Randy Gradishar, a Broncos legend, to promote the old school uniforms, doesn't that seal it? If there was any doubt that the Broncos were not going to hang on to Surtain, doesn't that erase all that? The fact that you put him in your promotional video that's going to stick on the social media world, in the social media world, for a very long time.
I don't know how much the front office communicates with the marketing team or the interns that
surely
put together
those
videos. I don't know when that video was filmed. That could have been months ago,
I guess.
And they're just now putting it out with the special effects and all that. I don't know. He is the best trade value that they have at this point. I wouldn't be shocked. It would be a big, you know, whoa, okay, Broncos are serious.
I'd be shocked if they do it.
And if they're serious about their quarterback, that's the move you want to make.
I honestly thought a few months ago that all bets are off. There's a very good chance that Surtain could be dealt if they really were serious about moving up. But that's the only asset as far as a player that they have. They have future first-round picks, but do you really... I mean, you got to really love, you know, if J.J. McCarthy's the guy, then you almost have to be certain that he's the guy, because you're going to do this all over again.
Surtain.
You're going to have to do this all over again, Angel, and trade next year's first-round pick, maybe even the following year's first-round pick, to move up that many spots.
What if a guy like Drake May does fall a little bit? Do you move up to get him, move your first, Surtain, pick up a second, and get one of the cornerbacks in the second round?
You could, but where are you... Where do you potentially think, now, again, our mock had, okay, the Giants maybe going with Drake May. That's at six. That's still six spots. What's that going to cost you? Is that a future first-round pick? Because obviously you have your first-round swap, and then you give them next year's first-round pick to move up six spots for Drake May.
Well, and there may be teams there in that 6 to 12 range that want to trade back, but they're like, okay, I know our guy will probably still be here, but then you risk, okay, we traded back. Now we got to trade up another three spots to make sure we get a tackle or a receiver at that spot.
It's going to be wild, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm just asking the question. It's not our official poll question, but kind of is, thanks to Chipper's Lanes. You guys tell me, what is Denver going to do with number 12? Big one tonight, Game 3, Nuggets-Lakers. We're going to have the play-by-play voice, radio play-by-play voice, Jason Kosmiski, on the program coming up next to help us preview that game in just a moment. So stay tuned for that. Kevin Lytle will join me at the top of the 12 o'clock hour today to talk all things Colorado State. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Game 3 tonight between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. Who better to help preview that game with us than the play-by-play announcer for the Denver Nuggets, Jason Kosmiski. Kos, man, what a call you had on Monday night. Great call throughout, but I loved the last few seconds, man. You were on your game, my friend.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The boys and I were out in Los Angeles last night, and there's debate on that call.
Really?
Like, you know, well, I mean, if you think about it, like, because the game was tied.
Sure.
And the Nuggets get the rebound at 15 seconds. And I'm just thinking, if you're the Lakers, why don't you call a timeout and try and figure out what the hell you want to do, right? And they didn't do that, and then they didn't foul. And so, you know, the argument is, you know, my point was, and granted, I had 1 second to think this through, is like, why wouldn't the Lakers foul? Because you're given, you know, what's your end game here? What are you playing for? Your best case scenario is to go into overtime against the Denver Nuggets at home. And, you know, that's basically what they were playing for. You know, that was their best case scenario. So I was just a little confused, and maybe I don't know. I would have fouled if I were the Lakers, because you get to decide, right? So let's say you foul Jamal Murray. He goes to the free throw line. He makes two. Now you're down by two with 12 seconds left, but at least you have your own destiny in your hands. It was kind of a crazy way that thing ended, man. But yeah, that's the second best game I have ever seen in my life by the Denver Nuggets.
Wow, and I want to talk about that too. Second best game, and you've seen a lot of Nuggets games. I'm with you on that 100%. I'm actually shocked you're getting flack for that, because hey, just looking at the history of the Nuggets inbounding a ball against the Lakers too. If they were to, I guess they were in the bonus, but I'm taking my chances on sending one of these guys to the line, and you've got LeBron James. So I know he missed the open three there that ultimately helped the Nuggets get that win, but I'm still taking my chances with that. So I agreed with you the way you called it perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, it's nobody was really busting on my chops, but it's an interesting conversation to have, like in the sports world, right? It's like, so I talked to one of our assistant coaches yesterday. He goes, I get what you're saying. You have a great point. He goes, but that's an unorthodox way to coach the game of basketball, is to, like, basically give somebody the lead within the last 15 seconds of the game, but yet, on the other end of that, you control your own destiny. You know what? But at the end of the day, man, 20 points down in the third quarter, and, you know, the Nuggets haven't really played a good game yet, you know, and I think they've gotten all they can see out of the LA Lakers in the first two games, so... yeah, I mean, you know, it's not going to be easy tonight. Obviously, Game 3 is always the hardest one. I just can't wait till the Nuggets are clicking on all cylinders, because the Lakers have no answer for the Nuggets anyway. So
we'll
see what happens.
Sure, and that's a great point, cause we haven't seen the Nuggets in a full on Nuggets type game yet. They were down 12 at one point in Game One, down 20 as you mentioned in Game Two. So they had kind of a miniature comeback in Game One, a big time comeback in Game Two. So that's got to be the point of emphasis is this first quarter for Denver. Try to see if you can fire on all cylinders, unlike the first two games.
Yeah, maybe it's just me, but don't you feel like those first two games they just kind of felt like, I mean, it was great, a great ending to both of them, but it just felt like through the entire game. The Nuggets, it kind of feels like a regular season game. It felt like there's no desperation, no whatever words you want to use. No anticipation. It just kind of felt like they kind of gone through the motions. Denver, in my opinion, they played good, but when they're on fire, and they hit, above 12 three-pointers a game, they're controlling the paint, they're winning the rebound battle, they're not turning it over. I mean, once the Nuggets click, I just don't think, I'm not being a homer, I'm just being a basketball guy here, I don't think the Lakers have an answer for the Denver Nuggets. I mean, I think in the first two games, the Lakers gave you all they had, and they're still down 0-2. So, it's a tough time to be a Laker fan and a good time to be a Nugget fan, I guess. But we'll find out what happens tonight.
And that's kind of my feeling there is maybe you got the best punch out of this Lakers team. I'll be curious, cause, to see how Anthony Davis plays in the first half. Because you tell me if I'm wrong here. Obviously, he's having an amazing game. 32 points for him. He couldn't miss there for a while. He was D'ing up Joker pretty good, maybe taking him out of some of the things he wanted to do. But that all faded away late third, most of the fourth, and Davis kind of disappeared. Do you see him coming out aggressive in the first half again, or does he kind of pick his spots a little more, try to get other guys involved?
You know what, though? I mean, you're 100% correct on that. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's like, how much better can Anthony Davis and LeBron James play at this point? I mean, these guys have been fantastic. And, and they're down 2-0. And you're right, AD disappears late in games. Why that is, I don't know, man. But how much better can these guys play? They kind of go away in the fourth quarter, especially Anthony Davis. But I don't know, man. Like, you use the word punch, and I think that's what the word is. It's like, I think the Nuggets have taken two big punches by the L.A. Lakers. And just, and we're thinking of this because we're Nuggets guys. Now think of this on the reverse side. What if you're a Laker guy and you're a Laker fan going, man, what else do we have to do? We're giving them everything we have and we still haven't had a win yet. So, it's and good for us, because the Lakers have been
sure
punking the Nuggets for 20 some odd years. It's good to be on the other end of this thing for once. What I mean?
I mean, I think Nuggets fans are in heaven with this, especially against the Lakers. They might not want to admit it or haven't admitted it in the past, but we certainly view the Lakers as a nemesis, as an enemy, a rival. And finally getting over that mountain last year in the Western Conference Finals, and then just going on the win streak that they've gone on against the Lakers. It's amazing. Like you said, it's good time to be a Nuggets fan.
Yeah, I mean, because we've been on the wrong side of this for a long time, and they have big names over there, and believe you me, I'm a conspiracy theorist, as we all know. you're telling me the NBA wants, if you're the NBA, like Adam Silver has told us a million times, at the end of the day, we're a business. Okay, that's like the worst line you could ever use as a sports commissioner. But you're telling me, what would they rather have? The LA market moving forward or the Denver TV market moving forward? So, you can make an argument in order to win by two, you got to kind of win by 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we've discussed this, like, okay, how deep do you want to go into the conspiracy stuff? But we kind of know that there used to be, anyway, an unwritten rule of, okay, there's officials that are going to give certain guys passes, which might lead to whatever, and that would keep certain guys on the court more and might result in certain guys getting a win and yada, yada, yada. So you're not that far off base, man. I'll go there with you, Cause.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like Anthony Davis gets 3 fouls in the first half. What in your head, you know, if you think the way I do, what are the percentages they're going to foul him out of the game? I mean,
sure.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going anywhere. You know, but at the end of the day, the better team always should win. And right now, the Denver Nuggets are the better team. They played a little bit above average. The Lakers, I think, have played excellent basketball, and they're still winless. So, you know, the Lakers, you know, here's the honest truth. The Lakers do not have an answer for the Denver Nuggets. They just don't.
Jason Kosmitsky joining us, play-by-play announcer for the Denver Nuggets. What was your reaction, both on the Michael Porter Jr., Russell foul situation, and LeBron, and even Anthony Davis somewhat, their response or lack thereof for Davis? What was your thought, what were you thinking, you know, hearing all of that at the end of that game?
Well, I mean, here's what it is they're 100% correct. That was a foul on Michael Porter Jr. There is no doubt about it. But here's what I do know. If you're in the NBA playoffs and you're complaining about the replay center, you're probably not in a very good spot in that playoff round.
Yeah. No, I would say that you're 100% right, because we're looking at it going, okay, that is a foul call, but the way they reviewed it and everything at the time, I just thought it was such a bad look for the Lakers to make the end of the game about what happened at the end of the third quarter.
And by the way, why? If there's one team that should not be complaining about the officials,
mm-hmm. yeah.
out of this entire world, it's the L.A. Lakers. I mean, you get every call in the book, and so you're gonna come out and complain. And you know, I will say this about the officiating. And by the way, we could do a whole 45-minute segment on Kaza's views on NBA officiating. But I will say this: I am somewhat pleasantly surprised that the Nuggets have not been absolutely crushed from the free throw line. Like, in my head going into this series, I thought the Lakers would get north of 20 free throws every single game. You know, I thought the Nuggets would probably get beat somewhere between 10 to 12 points from the free throw line in every game. And that hasn't been the case. So, now, that'll probably change tonight as soon as I say that. But I actually think the whistle, as bad as it's been across the entire NBA playoffs, as bad as it's been in the first round, I think Denver's actually had a, you know, at least in my opinion, a pretty good whistle. Not winning the whistle, but, you know, not getting crushed by it here in the first couple of games.
Kaz, what in your mind will the Nuggets try to do? Are they going to make it a focus to try to get Jamal Murray going early? I felt like, and this is my opinion, I felt like in that first quarter he was kind of forcing things, and then ultimately he gets blocked by LeBron, and I wonder just how much, you know, mentally that affected him the rest of the way. We all know what he ended up doing and hit the game winner and all that, but do you see them trying to get him going, is, you know, get his confidence up early in this game, or how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, you know what? I've thought about this too. I'm with you because, and they have done this in the past, but normally, you know, what they've done in the past, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, is they try and get Porter involved early and they try and get Aaron Gordon involved early. And why do they do that? Well, because KCP's not there to blow up the stat sheet. We all know that. And you just got to figure that Jamal and Nikola Jokic will always be there. But I think they've kind of gone away from that. And, you know, I don't even know how they would do that. I just think the Nuggets are the Nuggets. They just play the way they are, who they are, you know, and they play Nuggets basketball. And, you know, and what does that mean? They're a passing and cutting team, and they're very selfless. You know, you try and make plays, to make your team be better. So, you know, getting Jamal involved early, that's only on him. You know, like if he wants to be more aggressive, then he can do that. But I just think that the Nuggets just play Nuggets basketball. I mean, this is the best starting five unit in the NBA for the last 2+ years. That's not me saying that. Those are facts. They have the best two-man game in the NBA. Again, not me saying that. Those are facts. And they just play Denver Nuggets basketball. And if that means Jamal Murray getting a little bit more aggressive early in the basketball game, I'm with you. I would like that. But that's going to be more on him as opposed to the rest of the team trying to get him involved.
Cause on the how about this guy, Michael Porter Jr. Can you talk to us about just how? I mean, obviously last week was a extremely difficult week for him personally, going through everything with his brothers. I thought he was the glue to that game the other night. Joker did his thing. He gets the triple double. He's the best player in basketball. Jamal Murray was clutch. He hit the game winner. But if MPJ's not firing on all cylinders throughout that game, you're going to end up losing big time, in my belief anyway.
No, 100%. And he's the guy that nobody ever talks about, right? Because, you know, if you scout the Denver Nuggets, and we can do X's and O's, but, like, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of an offense. Like, so if you don't double Nikola Jokic, I mean, who's going to defend him on that team? Rui Hachimura? You know, Anthony Davis doesn't guard him. He's on Gordon. So they've been going double team basically off of the first dribble by Nikola Jokic. And so what you have to do as a Denver Nugget is you have to make him pay for that double team. They're not going to leave. They're not going to leave Jamal Murray, and they're not going to leave Aaron Gordon because he's down low. So that leaves two guys available to make you pay, KCP or Michael Porter Jr. And for whatever reason, they've been playing off of Michael Porter Jr. And it's his job to make them pay when they double-team Nikola Jokic. And that's what I mean. You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And not only has he been fantastic offensively, although he hasn't had a very good series shooting the basketball so far. I mean, that could all change tonight. But the way, I mean, you've seen it. The way the guy has improved his rebounding and his defense over the last 2.5, 3 years is phenomenal. He is when you say the word glue, you're 100% correct on that, because he's the guy that nobody ever talks about that's a huge factor for Denver Nuggets basketball.
Kaz joining us now talking about Game 3 coming up tonight between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning, Kaz, because you have called so many brilliant Nuggets games over the years, but you're saying, hey, the way that game finished, that was maybe the second best Nuggets basketball game you've ever seen?
Yeah, 100%. That was the second best basketball game I've ever called in my life.
I should know that. What's number one?
The game winner, baby.
Yeah.
Last year against Miami,
yeah.
Game 5. Yeah, that was that's one that you think about when you're a little kid, and you hope you get to see one time. And you know, thankfully for us, we did.
You called that one too. So great. I mean, I know that was that was emotional for you, Kaz. I mean, you've been with this crew through thick and thin. You've called good games, bad games, great games, everything in between. So to get to that point last year, and then to see stuff like we're seeing now, you're seeing it on the daily, which is so special, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You didn't like the 11-71 season we had.
I was there, but no, it was very sad. I mean, I remember it caused the days where you go to McNichols Arena and the Nuggets are playing the Bulls or something. You couldn't find Nuggets merchandise. It was all Bulls throughout, man. And sadly, I bought some of that. I have to admit, but you know that was the thing. It was all the visiting team stuff surrounding our arena.
Well, I mean, that's the way you could sell tickets, right? Hey, don't miss Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Oh, by the way, they're playing the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, and you were there. You were there for all of that, man. So you just keep enjoying this. We're absolutely honored and thrilled to have your voice on KFKA now with those games. We'll have it right here tonight as well. So we're just thrilled, man. Everybody's been complimenting it. Loved the call the other night, and you just keep doing it, man.
Yep, we got 16 wins to win the title, so we have 14 more to go. Tonight's going to be tough, so Nugget fan, don't be surprised if the Nuggets lose tonight. However, I think because Vegas has Denver as dogs right now.
Oh, they do?
At 1.5. And I don't mess with Vegas. Normally they're almost always right. So, but if Denver gets one of those games where they actually play at their highest level, Nuggets could win this thing by 10 or more points. And if they win tonight, then it's good night, Sarah. So it's going to – Game 3 is always huge. It's going to be a blast here tonight in Southern California. We'll find out what happens here in a few hours.
Well, we know if they get the job done tonight, we know what history tells us. So it's a big
yes,
one
sir.
For sure. Kaz,
yes, sir.
Appreciate you, my man. Nobody better. We'll look to catch up with you soon. Have a great call tonight.
Hey, you guys call me anytime, man. Take care of Greeley for me. I love that place.
I'm going to do my best, okay?
All right, brother.
All right, Cos. Thanks, man. There he is, Jason Kosmitsky, the play-by-play voice of the Nuggets. Lakers are a 1.5-point favorite now. The Nuggets were a 1.5-point favorite when we looked at it on, I think, Tuesday's show, Angel, so it's moved a little bit. What do you think of that call, Cos's call at the end of that? I guess the Nuggets were in the bonus at that point, and the Cos's idea was that you foul instantly. As soon as that ball gets inbound, you foul, send them to the free throw line, they make it, you're down two, you have now 10 seconds or whatever to try to hit a game-winning three. Most people will tell you, no, I didn't hate the call when I heard Cos saying they need to foul.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a split-second decision because you had, what, 15 seconds or so to get down the court and time enough for Jokic to get everyone down there and say, hey, everyone get to the left. Casey, hit this screen real quick and we can make the switch. Or even on the opposite side of that, Michael Malone not calling a timeout to set an offensive play up with like 5, 6, 7 seconds left, trusting his players enough where maybe Darvin Ham trusted his players to do something there.
Yeah.
And you put the defense, you put the best defender on Jamal Murray and he hits that incredible shot. So, yeah, no foul, no timeouts. Played out how it should have.
Dixon says, Brady, did you really 100% agree with him, or were you just kind of saying that? I think originally he thought they had a foul to give. See, I'll admit, I didn't think the Nuggets were in the bonus. That left my brain, I guess. I was so enthralled with the comeback and what was happening. But
yeah, because Jamal had, like, what, two trips to the free throw line late there?
Yeah, so during the call, I agreed with it. But then Cos tells us moments ago that they were in the bonus, and I just forgot. I didn't know they were. So if they weren't in the bonus, yeah, I'm fouling because the Nuggets have struggled to against the Lakers. They struggle to get the ball inbounds. I'm definitely fouling if they're not in the bonus. If they are in the bonus, I mean, conventional wisdom tells you no. You don't just give them the lead. And then you still have to make a three, which I don't know what the percentage chance would have been. What was LeBron's shooting percentage that night? You know, he missed a key three right before the Nuggets won the game. So I guess I can see it. I wouldn't have done it. If they're in the bonus, D them up. Let's make the stop. If they're not in the bonus, I'm fouling. Let's send them to the free throw line. Dixon says, if they were in the bonus, no way you foul. You just don't. Lakers would have been crucified if they foul on purpose. Murray hits two, and then they don't tie it up. Sure. But if they foul and you make both, and then you win, you hit a game-winning three, Darvin Ham's the greatest coach in the history of the world. So, yes. Thanks, bud. Rockies lost last night, Angel. Did you see that? Not going to win this series.
You didn't care to watch it.
They will not win this series. It's a four-game series. They could tie it, though, so that would be exciting. But it sure doesn't look like, Angel, they are going to win a series in the month of April. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll jump out quickly and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big game three. Game threes are tough. You know, you're up 2-0. Series shifts to L.A. And certainly, they're going to have their home crowd. The Lakers are a favorite now for a reason. Will I be shocked? I'm calling the Nuggets to win. I think they sweep the series. But I'm not going to be 100% shocked if the Lakers come out and find a way to get it done. But the question for them is who's going with him. LeBron James is going to do his thing. He's probably going to get you 25-plus, flirt with the triple-double, a lot of boards, a lot of assists. I mean, he's LeBron freaking James, man. Anthony Davis, Angel, I'm going to be really curious to see how he plays this game. Does he come out aggressive like he did in game two? And I ask Cause that, you know, hey, does he try to sit back a little bit and balance out his production throughout the game, try to get more guys involved? I mean, Rui had 3 points. Russell had 23. He was 7 of 11 from the three-point line, but that all went away by the time the fourth quarter hit. And then Reeves has struggled on the offensive side. Defensively, I thought he played pretty well for the most part against Jamal, but he struggled. And then, of course, nobody on the bench is doing much of anything. So do they go back to the drawing board here and say, okay, Davis found something. He was D'ing up Joker. He was scoring a lot. But he simply ran out of gas by the time the game was over. And I don't – altitude, L.A., that doesn't change. Davis does this on the road, at home, whatever. He runs out of steam.
Yeah, and I was just looking back at Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals last season just to kind of try to remember how we felt going into it up 2-0 into a road environment. This was probably one of the more competitive games between these two teams. They were Nuggets were up by 4, or they were tied at halftime, 55 all. Very competitive back and forth in the third quarter, and then about the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter, the Nuggets ran away with it, ended up winning 119-108. I could see that type of game playing out tonight. We talk about the Nuggets playing a complete game, playing at their best the entire four quarters. I could see it's a competitive game throughout most of it. Nuggets turn it on late, and Lakers, like you said, just get gas, and they don't have enough.
Yeah, it could go like that. Angel, there's part of me that thinks the Nuggets, they screwed around enough so that there's a different focus coming into this game tonight, where I think you're going to see a much better first quarter. If you think about it, if you don't have to spend so much energy, game one, you're down 12. Game two, you're down. Game one, you're down 12 at one point. You made it a three-point game by half. You gave up a lot of points, you know, 60 points in that first half to the Lakers. And then game two, of course, the epic comeback, 20 points down. I think this team is going to help them in a way. They're going to be refocused in the first half. And I think, man, if you're Denver and you can have the lead at halftime for a change in this series, I don't see how the Lakers can overcome that.
No, and you think about just the Lakers mentally. Okay, we were leading in both games. We were playing good in the first half of both games. First game, they just, you know, got the better of us late in that third into the fourth quarter, passed us up and won the game. And then you go to game two where it's this massive 20-point comeback. You have the chance to end it right there, and then Jamal hits the heartbreaker at the end. You got to wonder, if the Nuggets come out, like you just said, with a good first quarter, good first half, where is your mental motivation at that point to say, we really can't beat these guys now?
Yeah, you know, Cause is talking about the mental state of the Lakers and the Lakers fans right now. You felt like you did everything right and you lose. I've always said this on the show, Angel. I think sometimes getting blown out in a game, whether that's NFL playoffs, that's different because your season's over. But getting blown out in a game or a series like this, as opposed to losing two close ones where you actually did have control at one point, I think the blowout sometimes is easier to just go back to the drawing board and say, we were terrible in every facet of the game. We know we are not that bad. We do this, and this right. We could win. But when you're in close games like that, you're up 20, you walk away going, dude, we did everything right. You know, we played one of our better games. I think a lot of the national guys were saying that was the best first half of basketball the Lakers had played all season. So that could be demoralizing when you feel like you were the better team, but you come up on the wrong end of it.
No, and that's probably been the narrative of the last 10 games between these two teams. Going back to the Western Conference Finals, Nuggets won game one by 6, won game two by 5, went on the road and won by 11, and then get one game four by 2 points.
We'll see if they can get it done tonight, man. Game three, big one, no question. That's an 8 o'clock game, right? It'll probably sync up right about the time Roger Goodell steps to the podium to announce who the Broncos are taking at number 12. Kevin Lytle's going to join me from the Colorado, and he's our CSU insider. He'll be at the top of the next hour, and then we're off at 12:30. We'll see if the Rockies can at least put something together later today. Against the Padres. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Schwint. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Hooligans, I'm asking you a question. Shoot us a text on the First Advantage text line. What is getting most of your attention tonight? If you had to choose, let's say you have one television and it can only stay on one channel. Is it going to be on the NFL draft, round one, or is it going to be on game three, Nuggets, Lakers? Or, you know, maybe you're Tanner and it's going to be, well, I guess that's this afternoon. So you can look at that. That's a bonus, dude. You can watch the Rockies, Tanner, and you can watch everything else tonight. So which one's getting most of your focus?
I mean, they could probably just replay the game afterwards.
Right? Yeah.
So
yeah.
You could just watch it twice.
You could watch it twice. It's going to be that good. So if you had to pick, and I know where I'm going, the draft is great by itself. But if it's competing with something like this or the Avs, I can read the list of names later. You know, I know there's a little magic to it and everything. It's kind of like the schedule release show. You're going to see it 5 seconds afterward. It's going to be all everywhere. There is magic to watching, though, I'll admit. But if by 8 o'clock we're at pick number 10, that channel is getting flipped, and I'm not going back. I don't risk missing a play, Angel. I can't do that to myself. And I used to record the game and then watch it like that. And sometimes I still will, but I do like to live tweet. I don't like to be apparently Buffs fans hate me for this, but I don't like to be late on my Twitter posts, especially during a live game.
Yeah, I mean, I love the NFL draft. I like watching it, but the drama starts to fade after the top 10 anyway, unless, you know, your team is right there. I'd imagine we'll see some interesting trades going on in the top 10, but yeah, I'll probably switch over. I might jump over when my team picks, but that's later on in the evening. Hopefully, maybe at halftime.
Yeah, maybe. Yours might actually work out there where the Dolphins are. You're just seeing all the madness on a lot of the reports right now that teams are desperate. These teams that we're talking about that do need a quarterback, they are ready to play ball.
Are the Giants that desperate?
Yeah, I think so, man.
I mean, they're at 6. Are they willing to move up to 3 just to go get their guy?
And yeah, it depends on who they really want. If they want, because it was Drake May at 3 or 2, depending on the mock you looked at. And then now it's looking like it's Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy ahead of Drake May. So are the Giants good? There's a chance that Drake May falls to the Giants. All right, when we come back, Kevin Lytle will join us. We'll get to what we learned. We'll send it out to Jack Corrigan and Jerry Schimmel at 12:30. You can hear that Rockies game here on KFKA. We'll be right back. Lytle coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.